Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. More than 5 million people have been infected with the coronavirus in the U.S., according to Johns Hopkins University. About 163,000 people have died. NPR's Jason Slotkin has more.
This milestone hits just 17 days after the U.S. passed 4 million cases. At the time, many states saw record surges of new infections. Though a majority of states have since reported declines in cases, the pandemic is far from over. The U.S. still by far leads the globe in coronavirus cases. COVID-related deaths in the U.S. account for roughly 22% of the global toll. The latest milestone also strikes as lawmakers and states attempt to chart a path back to normal, including planning for in-person instruction for the school year. Jason Slotkin, NPR News.
President Trump signed executive actions over the weekend. They aim to stop evictions, defer student loan repayments, cut the payroll tax, and extend federal unemployment benefits. Democrats say his actions are unconstitutional since Congress has the authority to make decisions about federal spending. From member station WSHU, Desiree DiOrio reports, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says Trump's also trying to force states to pay for part of his order.
Cuomo says the executive order President Trump signed to help with pandemic recovery does not meet the demand for economic relief. One order extends pandemic unemployment benefits at $400 a week and directs cash-strapped states cover 25%. Cuomo says that could cost New York up to $4 billion, a price tag he calls impossible.
Desiree DiOrio reporting. Leaders from several nations, including President Trump, joined a virtual meeting on Sunday to raise aid for Lebanon. The meeting, led by France, raised nearly $300 million. Lebanon has been paralyzed by a horrific explosion last Tuesday in Beirut's port. That killed at least 158 people and wounded about 6,000 others. Some 300,000 people lost their homes. Separately, at least seven lawmakers in Lebanon have resigned. They are calling on other Lebanese lawmakers to follow suit. Nada Homsi has more from Beirut.
Two government ministers resigned on Sunday, citing a lack of will for government reforms, the latest in a string of resignations from the government and parliament. The resignations are a result of public outrage at a massive explosion in Beirut's port that destroyed huge swaths of the capital last week. Thousands of protesters unleashed fury at their political establishment for the second day on Sunday. They clashed with security forces, hurling debris from the blast at them, and attempted to storm the parliament. Demonstrators blame politicians for the widespread negligence and corruption, which contributed to Tuesday's explosion. For NPR News, I'm Nada Homsi in Beirut.
You're listening to NPR News. A federal agency says it's holding off on a loan worth $750 million to Kodak. Randy Gorbman of member station WXXI reports from Rochester, New York.
The U.S. International Development Finance Corporation tweeted that recent allegations of wrongdoing raise serious concerns about the big government loan, and it won't move forward until those allegations are cleared up. And White House advisor Peter Navarro tweeted that he is very disappointed the deal has been tarnished by allegations, as he put it, but he said America must redouble efforts to bring more pharmaceutical manufacturing back to the U.S. The allegations have to do with a leak of some information just prior to the official announcement of the deal. There were also questions raised about stock options issued to Kodak executives. A spokesperson for Kodak declined to comment. For NPR News, I'm Randy Gorbman in Rochester.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar is visiting Taiwan. He's the highest-ranking U.S. official to do so since 1979. Azar is holding talks about managing the coronavirus. China sees Taiwan as a renegade province and is displeased with Azar's visit. China has threatened countermeasures over the trip. The five-term authoritarian ruler of Belarus has declared victory in another presidential election. Preliminary results say Alexander Lukashenko received 80% of the vote. Violence has broken out overnight in Belarus following the contentious election. Lukashenko jailed two opposition candidates. Belarusian police used tear gas to clear streets in the capital, Minsk. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.